Kendi and Ravo podcast, sponsored by Maves and the Garavo Bar.
5:47, we're rolling.
We are rolling.
Ever since you moved into the studio, you're all mad for this professional crack. Did you bring a bottle opener?
I did.
Why did you bring Heineken?
Because it was going off in the fridge. Do you like that wee bottle opener?
Hey, it brings you back to the old days.
Yeah, thank
when
you.
When the best jokes we had in this podcast were all about Willys.
Yeah, Lily Goose Wax there now and her little Mickey bottle opener.
Speaking of Mickeys, no, I'm joking. I was going to try and get into a big 15 minutes of Mickeys.
No, let's not.
We've come a long way.
We have, in fairness.
Oh, Mickey, we're a lot more, what's the word? Mature.
Yeah.
A lot more mature nowadays. Come here, speaking of mature, did you hear that I am now like a huge influence on the government and
yes!
getting stuff done?
And how did you swing that?
I'll tell you, Ray, we are powerful boys.
So tell people what you did.
What we say goes, I gave out about the HSC.
The HSC.
And then I got a fella inside telling me, sure, Kendi, did you not hear about the embargo? Which I clearly didn't. It was a budgetary thing from last October.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't a clue about the embargo and it all made sense. And so then all of a sudden, I was getting text messages from all over the place going, well done, Mark. A local representative we all need because they lifted the embargo.
They did.
And they're going to be allowed to hire again. But.
Yeah, but.
There's a but.
Oh.
Apparently it's not really changing that at all.
Oh, right.
Because they've still got a member cap, like as in a workforce cap.
Hmm.
And they're going to hit that. I think they have about 3,000 spaces left in that or something.
That's not bad.
Well, it's not great.
If you've got 3,000 nurses in now, you're doing well.
No, it's regional though.
Oh.
So there's apparently what they're saying anyway, the IMO is saying that there's about 10 people in the HSE now that can actually hire people. As in there's about 10 departments, that can actually, that haven't hit their cap, you know.
Okay, I'm with you there now.
So nothing really apparently is going to change.
But still, positive.
Well, still, I came out, forced change.
You forced change from one of the biggest organisations in the country.
It just shows
you the sway of this.
Who else did we go after? Ray, do you know what?
What?
I got a bit of a beef with Nazis, do you know? And I think they need to change, Ray.
Right.
I think they need to change.
What do you think they need to cut out of their manifesto?
I just think, I don't want to use too harsh a language, but they're awful divils, I think. They're real scuts, if you ask me, them Nazis. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
We have to be careful what we say, no, because we got shadow banned on TikTok, which is really annoying. I think we did, yeah, because we have a direct correlation between comments and views. And like, we can see that even though there's loads of engagement on our posts lately, when I say loads, like people are actually commenting.
Yeah.
But it's not getting pushed out, and it's all because we said something about Airbnb.
Is it?
I think so. I might be wrong in this, but I think Airbnb might have some Israeli links.
Oh.
And I think they were like, no, you're not going to be talking bad about them boys.
Oh, right.
Or maybe people just don't want to listen to us anymore.
Yeah.
No, but I don't think that's it though. I think
it's a big possibility.
I just don't want to face the music there and admit
it.
It's
better to blame someone else.
Ah, it must be the Israelis. Jesus Christ, it has to be. Sure, nowadays, of course it is. No, but we have to be careful. It's awful annoying now. You can get banned now on social media without even knowing you got banned.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they don't want to flat out just go out and ban you. They just go, just don't be showing them boys to anyone now anymore.
Yeah.
The algorithms.
It's, you've reminded me of something there.
Go on.
Because a certain friend of the podcast,
which
we've mentioned now at the start of each show for the last, this is our third week mentioning him.
Right.
Mr. Clark.
Oh, yeah, go
Mr.
on.
Mr. Clark. Apparently he tends to get banned on stuff as well.
That's right. You know? He got banned off the Tinders.
He did.
What? Yeah. He got banned off the
Tinders.
Oh,
right, he got banned off the Tinders.
And Bumble, didn't he? People are so sensitive too, aren't they? Like,
how did he get banned off?
Because
what happened again?
He made a video where it's like him interviewing for, as if Tinder was real, I think. And the video goes like, oh, I want to join Tinder.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, we're going to show you feck all people unless you want to pay for us. And then he's like, I will pay. Oh, then we're going to show you all
people. Did a funny video and they didn't take the joke.
Their feelings got hurt. The whole organization of Tinder went, oh my God, do not let that pig into this. Do not let that fucking pig into here at all. And they banned him from using the app. Like,
that's terrible.
Isn't that so petty?
Imagine to take it out on someone's love life.
And the man hadn't got the right sense. Do you know that?
No. But yeah, because once you're banned off the dating sites, that's it.
You can't get the right ever again.
You're no longer a card-carrying ride getter.
No, there you go. It's like the copper's cards.
On that note,
he lost his license to ride. Alan Clark 007, license to ride. Can we stop talking about that fella? Before we go, am I definitely recording? Is there a red button on that ATM, Brendan?
Yeah, I think it's recording.
Yeah, okay, but just want to make sure. That's all.
The reason I wanted to talk about him is because he texted me the last evening and he said, I'm calling you out. Full Nadia Ford oosh competitions type treatment.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Nadia Ford. You know Nadia Ford?
I know Nadia Ford?
Do you?
No, I think she's brilliant in it for a number of reasons.
Right.
Two reasons in particular. But the thing is, though, me saying that isn't misogynistic. She knows well what she's doing and she's dead right to do it.
Yeah.
If you have a big old heart, you gotta
flaunt it.
You have to show everyone your heart.
Yeah.
You have to show them all the love that you have to give. No, but that's true, though. If you have it, just... She knows she's not an idiot, like.
Yeah. So
and if she wants to get involved, come in here.
No.
We'll get fucking 4K cameras.
No, we won't. No. Why is she... She did a little combination thing with another competitions crowd. But they started as if a beef. As in, like...
they did a fake beef.
A fake beef.
Yeah.
And I kind of went, is this actual... But it looked fake.
Yeah, you know, fakebeef.com.
Plastic stuff. Anyway, so he said he was going to go full Nadia Ford oosh competitions on me because I called him out last week because I said, he said, he keeps using the words, I can't lie or I won't lie.
Yeah.
And he came back to me and he said, I don't know who you think you are coming after me for I can't lie or I won't lie when all I ever say is, I'll be honest with you. Which is essentially the same thing, but in a different way.
It actually is. It's a very good point. But also, you know, if you're doing those fake beefs, fakebeef.com, you're not supposed to tell everybody that that's what's happening.
Oh, you're not supposed to tell them it's a fake one.
You're not supposed to tell everyone in the world that you're about to have a beef with someone, but we're only messing. You're supposed to pretend it's a fake one. You're telling everyone on the podcast.
Oh, no. As far as he was concerned, he was going to go after me, like, genuinely.
All right, okay, so you think it's fake beef, but he's ripping.
I think he's ripping, and I think I'm just expecting the worst, because you know the way he'd be.
Well, and also the, you know, he has a lot of followers, a lot more than us now. If we, like, let's say if we asked all of our people, we want you all to meet, it'd be like Braveheart, except for our arses would get rugged riddled.
Yeah, that's true.
If we bent over mooning them.
Okay, so let's move on.
Here. Everyone's going to be like, geez, the boy's Nan Clark, he does not talk about, I don't know why we talked about him for 3 weeks in a row.
It's only because there's been subject matter.
There has been subject matter.
We hadn't spoken about
him
for years before that.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, he is a big supporter and it's savage that he is. Fair play to him. Come here.
What do you want to talk about?
Alan Clark, any other crack? Big weekend. Shall I just keep firing?
Huh? Yeah, sporting wise.
Well, sporting
wise. I want to talk about the sporting
wise. Yeah, we will get to the sports.
Yeah?
No, we'll get to the sports.
Take the piss out of me over the last few days in the WhatsApp saying I don't know what's going on. I know Spain are great.
They're actually not really great, though.
Ah, they're better than England.
They were kind of the best of a bad bunch. Yeah. It wasn't a great Euros.
People were accusing me of supporting England. I don't know why they'd ever get that impression.
Were they accusing you of supporting England?
They were like, oh, yeah, I'm sure you're rooting for England.
I'm going, I mean, you probably were, though.
No. I was rooting for Spain. That's where we go on holidays.
That's what won it over.
That's where it has the sun. And I like the colours of Spain too.
The one thing I'd say is it was a kind of a shitty enough old Euros. Like,
I didn't watch any of it.
When a team like England get as far as they do playing no football, then you know it's bad.
You know it's bad.
But we did. No, myself and Brendan went up to Croke Park on Sunday.
What was on in Croke Park on Sunday?
Who was playing again, Brendan? I can't remember. I wasn't really watching it. With Donegal versus Galway.
Oh, I heard about this actually.
Yeah, it was a game of sports.
Charles Mulhern told me that he sat beside you and he said that you need maybe to talk to someone because you take things very
personally. I found myself at times turning around
and apologising.
No, looking up at the full stand of people behind me as if I was riling them on.
Oh.
And I felt like an awful idiot when I was doing it. But I couldn't help it. So Galway would get a score. And I turn around and put the fist in the air to everyone like, come on, we're all doing it, come on. And I was like, geez, I look like a flute now. But I couldn't help it, though. Yeah. It just overcomes you.
Yeah, Carlton is very embarrassed.
What is he on about? He was roaring and shouting as well for a shit team like Donegal. No, I'm joking.
So Donegal played Galway.
Donegal.
What was the outcome of this game of sport?
Galway won it by 2 points and it was the All-Ireland semi-final, Ray.
So what does that mean for Galway?
It means that Galway now go into the World Cup.
Oh,
yeah, so they're
in the World Cup.
They're qualified for the World Cup in Brazil.
Great, against Brazil.
Rio 2026.
Lovely.
And they'll be playing the likes of, Brazil, Argentina. So Galway versus Argentina. Half-hour kickoff.
Yeah. Would you, if you got the Galway football team, right? The current Galway football team and fielded them against the Republic of Ireland national team.
In what sport?
In soccer.
Yeah.
And ask them and see do you think there'd be a chance Galway might bait them off the pitch?
So it's
given
funny,
the fitness and everything.
It's funny you say that because I know what you're saying. There's probably some brilliance. I mean, Gleeson in goal for Galway actually used to play soccer, didn't he, Brendan? He played for Galway United. Yeah. So there's definitely all them boys are brilliant soccer
players. Are they like bass
players?
Are they all failed soccer players? Bass players, failed guitar players. Sorry, bass players, I am one, so I can say
so
it.
Am I. Yeah. The thing is, there is a skill level, though. There is a skill level, like, and you notice that, like, in soccer, I mean. So they're obviously brilliant athletes, and they're well able to go. And some of them are probably fantastic soccer players. Yeah,
but Galway wouldn't beat Ireland.
But they wouldn't even beat, like... Well, do you think that they'd have a chance against Sligo Rovers?
I think, has it ever been done? It should be a great old, charity event.
Well, they've done stuff like mixed rules before, so maybe that's a good idea.
Like, if you basically took the All-Ireland winner, so it's now Galway versus Armagh, isn't it?
Yeah. Armagh.
Yeah. So, if you take whoever wins that game, and then put them against whoever wins the whatever sporting league thing that happens in the soccer in Ireland.
So they'd have to play Shelburne.
Ah, yes. Shelburne won.
Shelburne will be winning it,
So Shelburne versus probably Armagh, let's face it.
Shut up. Okay. Well, the thing is, Armagh will just end up tip-tapping the ball around the back four anyway. Oh, that was a bad Armagh joke.
Are you going to the All-Ireland?
Fingers crossed I will be able to go. But this is what happens with the tickets. Do you know what happens to All-Ireland tickets?
They're like, you just have to know someone.
What happens is, any game before that, because it won't really sell out, like, or it will sell out, but it's wide open territory and it's usually two games on the day, you just go on to Ticketmaster.ie and then you get tickets when they're available.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so which is what I've been doing the whole way through this championship.
But for the All-Ireland?
For the All-Ireland final, every single ticket is allocated to different departments. So every ticket.
Different clubs.
The majority of tickets will go to Galway and Armagh clubs and county boards.
Yeah.
Okay. And then on top of that, then all of the clubs around Ireland and abroad, New York, London, all them, they'll all get an allocation of tickets as well. Okay. And usually what will happen then is them clubs will decide if they want to go or not, to which they will go, sure, why would I go to that?
Yeah.
And then they'll go, well, hang on now, I have a cousin in Armagh. He'd be looking for that.
So that's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
It's a mad old system.
You have to know. So I have now messaged everyone I know in club football all over the country.
Right.
We've got on to people in Kerry.
Yeah.
Tyrone. Clare.
Did it not occur to you that you have a hit podcast that you can do a call out?
No, but I wouldn't be like that. I mean, if there were two tickets available, I'd never ask someone. I'd never...
I don't think the live show tickets would be equivalent value.
Definitely not. No, so, I mean, I would. If anyone out there would like to lend us Common Man tickets to an All-Ireland final...
Just thinking we could allocate...
I'll give them back.
We could allocate all our live show tickets to clubs around the country. At which point, they would return them.
Every single one would be returned.
So if some of the fans wanted to come and see us...
Yeah.
You'd have to...
They'd have to what?
Do what you do.
Ring every single club in the country. Have you two Kendi Rainbow tickets? Upper Nally. That's the annoying thing. So now the push is on from everyone who wants to go to the game.
Yeah. When is it on this game? Is
it next year, Brett? It's on 2 weeks.
It's on 2 weeks. How do you cope with going up to Dublin to this sort of crack?
Well, how do I cope with going up to Dublin for this sort of crack?
Yeah, that's why I asked you.
Don't cope hugely well.
No.
We went up, myself and Brendan and some friends of ours, went up on Sunday to the game.
I certainly
lovely drive up. Brendan did up. Well, I mean, we couldn't be wasting tickets now.
No, not on people like
give
me.
A shit. Yep. We went up and Brendan did up these lovely little baggings of like lunch. It was like 1998 all
he
over
He made
again.
A packed lunch?
Yeah, he made everyone a roll.
Right.
Took the orders the night before. I said, I'd have ham and cheese.
Yeah, lovely.
On a gourmet bread.
That's nice.
Yeah, and he had everything inside in it. We ate that on the way up.
So to care, would you have to stop anywhere that even smelled Dublin?
Well, we did stop on the way up anyway, like, because, that's what, apparently that's what you have to do,
Although, the Enfield Apple Green, I have to say, it's come on a long way.
But it's the biggest... That's the place where everyone stops.
No, it's not. No, Ballinac is where everybody stops between the West and Dublin.
Yeah, because it has Supermax.
That's because of Supermax.
Yeah. Anyone who's going that way stops there because they're used to Supermax.
Yeah, I'm beginning to fall out of love with Supermax.
I only saw Pat McDonagh at the game outside the Crow Park Hotel.
Yeah, did you?
I did, I saw him.
I'm very sorry.
I'm one
of the biggest supporters of Supermax down through my life. Manny's a pound I spent in that.
I still think it's the nicest takeaway in the country.
It's not, because every time I have it lately, I feel shit.
Oh yeah, well
I
that's
feel
fast
more
food.
Shit. No, I have a Burger King, feel okay.
Oh, I have Burger McDonald's, King, puck.
Feel okay. But the Supermax, in particular, the chips, whatever's happened to them, they're just not what they were.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Supermax is better than it ever was.
Do you think?
It is tastier than it ever was.
Right.
I think Supermax is absolutely lovely.
And I would be of the opinion that it's no longer tasty or tempting.
There's no taste. Come here, you want to be careful. That fella sue you. Jesus Christ.
Saying what I feel about his food.
Well, I mean, he took on McDonald's and he won. He fought the big dicks and he won.
He fought the law and the law didn't win.
You don't think he'll take you 100? He will clean you out for every 15 euro you have in your account.
Yeah.
Every cent of that 15
quid. What are we talking about? Yeah, Dublin.
Oh, yeah. So up to Dublin and then, now we parked, because Brendan knows some big old dicks up there in Crow Park. We parked in the Crow Park Hotel right across the road from the Hoggage Stand. Up I went, enjoyed the crack. So that was grand on the way up. You kind of nearly get escorted into the
Crow
Park Hotel.
Your exposure was limited.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And you just walk across the road. We went in and had a pint at the Crow Park Hotel.
Oh, lovely.
And all that kind of crack. And then, on the way back then, that's when you realise it bites in the sweet cheeks. Because you have to try and get out of Dublin then.
It's very difficult.
Hold on, Brendan. Where are we getting out to Lucan?
An hour and 45 minutes.
We were an hour and 45 minutes getting from Crow Park to Lucan.
Would you not have
gone? I fell asleep.
Would you not have gone for pints and gone, like, this is what my old lad used to do, not the...
Wait around.
He'd wait around for a lock hours.
Yeah, no. Well, no. I mean, I just wanted to get out of there anyway, regardless. Of course, yeah. But it took us an hour and 45. I fell asleep, right? And when I woke up, I was like, oh, lovely, we must be home. And the boys had pulled into a restaurant in Lucan. I said, you have to be joking. There's no way we're only here now.
You put in a serious effort, in fairness, support-wise. Like, I know fellas, like Alan, I'm almost done, doesn't miss a match, a male match. Like the effort you put into.
Well, it's a lot harder for him now.
Stuff, yeah.
There's only so much heartache you can take.
It's lovely to see Galway and Armagh in this year as opposed to the other Kerrys and Dublins and Mayo.
That's great to hear from a Mayo man to say that, because I'm not sure there's too many other Mayo men that would be saying that
funny
now.
I feeling that's now me done.
Yeah, that might be you that allowed back into Mayo.
Yeah.
I just say, I saw this Facebook post, and I mean, Galway have won nothing, yes, in the words of John O'Mahony, Lord rest him. There's no cup under the table yet, but I did see when Mayo lost to Derry. There was a Mayo supporters group page on Facebook that popped up on my feed.
Yeah.
And the post just read, congratulations to Dublin on winning another All-Ireland.
Oh, how?
As if to insinuate, well, now that Mayo are there,
are
gone. Yeah. That's it now. Mayo, Dublin.
No one can beat Dublin.
Yeah. Mayo are the only ones
who
that can beat Dublin.
In the end,
Galway.
Then? Galway
knocked Dublin out.
That's a big moment for you.
And then they said, the Mayo sports group then said, The only saving grace, lads, is that Roscommon and Galway will get knocked out next week. And I just, when someone says something like that, it's just set up to fail. Yeah. Do you know?
I'd like to apologise on behalf of my fellow countrymen. We're short-sighted.
I nearly turned into my mother, because if I was my mother, she'd go straight onto that page and start abusing them. She would.
Has your mother been known to abuse people on Facebook?
But I was trying to say this to Cahill as well. I'd be worried, I was saying to Cahill, Mam's watching it in Boston now, and she's probably out the back of Ellie's house. She won't watch the game. Any games, Mam won't watch the games. So she'll do the drying or the washing, or she'll hang up the clothes.
Why?
So she'll turn on the television and she'll go, I'll sit down now and watch this.
Yes.
Then she'll get so nervous that she can't watch.
Okay.
And then she'll go off. She does it for Liverpool matches and Galway matches.
It's a bit like my mother, any mild horror film. literally, if there's even a burglar about to come into the house, it could be a joke film.
A joke burglar.
My mother has the knees up.
Go away.
And she's like, I can't watch this. I have to go do the washing.
Go away. She can't handle it. Well, that's similar. So she goes. So Mam was, in fact, doing that. She said she only watched about 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
But he said, what would she do if she was here now? And I was like, well, she'd be turned over in the seat. And
I witnessed your mother on the sidelines of tag rugby, a lovely amateur sport, which everybody tends to enjoy and has crack at.
Yeah, what
and
did
you
she do?
Brought your mother one evening, and all she did was abuse the shite out of everybody.
Yeah, so that's the worry. No, that's...
I was trying
to explain that to Cahill that. If she hears... let's say if Mam was there. So I heard, let's say during the game now, I heard plenty of people going, come on, Donegal. That's a foul.
Yeah.
And I didn't turn around and go,
you're wrong.
Shut up, you. You want to have it out, do you? My mother, she would do that. She'd say, and I love it. Before Mam, I've said this before, before she curses or says something she shouldn't say, she always says, God forgive me.
Yeah.
But she would say, she'd turn to me then during the match and she'd go, God forgive me now, Mark, but I wish that fella just fuck off now. I wish he'd fuck. Tell him fuck off now. That's what I tell
him. I'd love to go to something with her and then.
No, it's not really that.
It probably wouldn't be enjoyable, but I'd probably be sitting there going, now sit down, Geraldine, shut up.
But after the game, then it's almost like a shake hands thing, then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But that's what I can't understand about sport.
Is that
the only sport I like is rugby, because there's none of this crack at all. Nobody shouts at anyone, everybody's respectful.
Yeah, well, I mean, for the most part, you're supposed to.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
you're definitely. But I miss that another, because I just don't. This might be controversial, I might have said it before. I don't understand how beneficial it is to teach young people that they can tear strips off the point of authority on the pitch.
Yeah.
So the ref is in charge. He's going, I'm basically judging this, in the X Factor. And
Simon Cowell is the ref.
Simon Cowell is the ref. But to have 8-year-olds roaring at a referee,
yeah,
and parents at the sideline also roaring at the referee.
Well, the kids learning from the parents now. I'll tell you that much from
growing
up.
That's it. Yeah, like if the parents weren't standing there roaring.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you'd never have roared at a referee if you hadn't seen Geraldine doing it in the start.
That's the truth. She told me she used to encourage us. Yeah. Don't hit that referee way without
hit him a dig as you're walking by or something along
so
the
lines. So the thing with that is, like, I agree with you fully. There's a line there that you can't cross. So if a referee makes a decision, I get that someone might go, oh my God, there's no way you call
fairness,
that.
You're allowed to vent.
And then he goes, nah, you know. Yeah. But to go up in someone's face and abuse them or... And then so that's one side. Don't abuse the referee. And you can't do that in rugby, really.
No, which I love.
The referee will let you talk to him.
Oh, yeah. But you have to be calm and you have to communicate. Yeah. But it's a mighty skill to teach a younger person. So if a younger person, 8 or 10-year-old, is playing rugby.
Yeah.
And, right, you have a problem there now. And the young fella has to communicate, or the girl has to communicate. Here's what I found wrong with that.
Yeah.
Without shouting ahead of him and using all the expletives.
Oh, it's great as well, because I was refereeing a rugby match one time and... there was a young lad there who had no gum shield.
Yeah.
And when I told him to go in and get his gum shield or else he's not playing,
he said, oh, he did.
And huffed and puffed.
Yeah.
And I blew the whistle straight away.
Yeah.
And called him and his manager over, like.
Yeah.
And I said, we're not even starting this game yet and I'm already getting an F word from this fella.
Yeah.
He's going to get his gum shield now or he's not playing. And when he's out here, I don't want to hear him again.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Mad.
Because that's what you have to
but
do.
If it was, if but it the was thing Gaelic is,
his coach,
soccer.
His coach then, that was down in Ballinrobe, that happened. His coach then was told him, why did you come out here without, you knew you were going to get caught. Like,
that's brilliant.
Do you know? His coach didn't say to me, you haven't a clue, man, leave him alone. He's only a kid. You know, he said, this is the guy that's in charge.
And then his owl lad comes on and hits your thumb.
No, I fought his owl lad then outside the chipper. I tell you what, he needed the gum shield himself now after
which,
I was done.
Which chipper? Yeah.
Huh? Is there a chipper?
I know, I was actually going to revert back to Supermax.
Not Supermax, no, I was too busy enjoying the lovely food.
Why have you a voice on you like a junkie's carpet?
Because roaring and shouting up in Crow Park.
It's right, that's what happened.
But I was also, so I was roaring and shouting up in Crow Park, and the other thing is, I was at a wedding then for 2 days before that.
Was that good crack?
I didn't make a penny raid this week.
Everything gone.
I didn't make a penny.
That's a very expensive weekend.
Oh,
2 days
God.
At a wedding. So you did day two as well.
And then I took Sunday off.
And then the usual question, who was the band?
Now, the band at the wedding were the Shaking Shillelaghs from Sligo. Keith Kelly's band.
Oh, right.
The boys were deadly.
Yeah.
In fairness to them, they had a good mix of stuff now. And the great thing about their background of him is if they need... social dancing.
Yeah.
And dancing, the boys can do it.
The boys can do it, yeah.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ. And that it was that kind of crowd as well.
That's another band now for Sligo Wedding Band of the
there
Year
There you
Awards.
Go. They could be up there, lads.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing. It was an interesting wedding now.
Why was it?
Because the gentleman who got married is a guy called Jamie Jones from Wales.
Yes.
Right?
Wales.
Friend of ours. We met him when we were 14 year olds. Yeah. He came into Castlereagh. There was no foreigners in Castlereagh back then, not one.
Right.
So he was the first ever foreign person to set foot in Castlereagh.
Mm-hmm.
And he came into our school. And as the story goes, we said, look at this fella with the frosted, you know, like
the blondie
tips.
Ones, yeah.
But like, my God above. And he also looked like he was 30 and ate a gym.
Right.
Okay. And we were like, what is going on here?
Mm.
And then the cream of the whole lot, then the cherry on top of the cake was he said to us, do you want to come play on my trampoline?
Oh, and he had a trampoline.
And me and Kev were like,
what's
I'm not sure about this fella. He's got a weird accent.
Yeah.
He's ripped as a bull as well, so I'm already threatened by him.
Yeah.
But I haven't been on a trampoline before because we're in Castlereagh. Like,
yeah.
No one had a fucking trampoline in Castlereagh. He brought one over from Wales.
Yeah.
We said, let's give the trampoline a chance and we'll see what this fella's like.
And
lo and behold, 20 years later, Kevin's up there beside him giving a speech. And
go away. Kevin was the best man, was he?
Kevin was his best man. And,
how come you didn't get the shout?
Oh, because me and him fell out years ago. Because you know the way I said he was ripped his bone in the gym and stuff?
Yeah.
There was two knuckles, two fish.
Dan and Jer.
Yeah, I fought him outside a chipper in Ballinrobe one time. His son. His son was playing rugby.
And, that's a great little bit of cemetery there.
It was unreal, though. It was just unreal to see a couple full circle. So he's a Welsh guy, an absolute gentleman. And then his Mrs. Dennis from Ballyhadreen.
I was going to say, Ballyhadreen.
Do you know what I mean? So she's a fine country woman.
She would
be,
yeah.
You know, it's not something that would usually mix, but he seems to have convinced her. That's I don't know how. She's a beautiful,
what's
beautiful
her
woman. Her name is Teresa.
Lovely.
And she is a beautiful, beautiful woman and a beautiful bride, Raymond. Yeah. And anyway, I'd say, from what I could judge looking at it, a lot of her side would have been well able to dance. She was well able to dance.
Yeah.
Do you know that jiving crack that we're on about lately? That's, wow.
Now,
we'll get on to that now in a minute.
Yeah.
She was well able to dance.
Yeah.
And the boys knew then how to make sure we have plenty of this music to go on now because this is what they're into.
Did they have a sweet card?
I'm not allowed near them anymore, so I don't know, actually.
Yep.
No, I don't think there was. Why are you asking that?
Just wondering.
Sweet card's stupid.
No, it's not stupid. It's
no, they're really stupid, man. Okay. They give you the shits and you'll shit the bed then. So don't.
The jiving. We put now, up a wee video about jiving. Yeah. And I actually don't know the name of the... It's Jive something. Jive Gym or something like that.
Jiving Gym, yeah.
Jiving Gym. He has offered us jiving lessons.
Yeah.
And I have actually said, you know something, this has to be done. Because I have felt less than a man lately.
Yeah.
At social events where other people are out throwing my wife around the floor.
Yeah.
As I look on.
Yeah.
Like some sort of, I don't know.
And she's about to faint like a woman in the 50s. Oh,
she's
just
having such a great time.
Ooh. Yeah, well, that's the thing because that, I mean, that happened as well at the wedding at the weekend. So I was trying to jive Nicola.
Yeah.
I was trying to jive a 7.5 month break. But we none of us can dance. And me and Nicola have always said we'd love to be able to jive and we're, two-step and three-step and all that kind of stuff and do a fixtras. We'd love to.
A fixtras.
But we've never had the chance. So I was just looking at the fellas beside me because they were a right good dancing crowd now. Yeah. Christ above, they're a right good dancing crowd. Hmm. Her father would throw many a woman around the dance floor.
Right.
And I was just watching them going, we look like flutes beside them now. Do you know?
Hmm.
And I'm not able to jive you the way I should. And it did.
We're
going to
fix that.
Now we're going to fix that.
We're going to fix that. You'll be seeing that. In the
who's drawn Laura around the room?
A variety of men.
Right. Okay. And what about the jiving then as well?
Oh, sorry. You set me up there. Yeah.
We have been told that we are going to get jiving lessons. Yeah. And of all the stuff that we've been offered over the years on this podcast, this is one that I'm well into.
Yeah.
I am well in. We've now mastered the salsa.
Salsa, yeah, we were actually doing a bit of salsa at the recent wedding.
Warriors.
Yeah, yeah, well, no, you and me.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, but
salsa,
that's
salsa.
Yeah. Because, so we did salsa for 10 minutes and then we bought, obviously.
We bought new it.
Yeah, then we knew salsa then. There was no need for any more lessons as
no,
well.
No.
They said we were the two quickest learners they've ever...
ever had.
Yeah, they've ever had come through the door. Yeah. They were so quick to get us out, Ray, is what I found. They were so quick to get the door open and say, lads, you're done.
You're
and
done
I thought,
now.
You know what? What a compliment that is.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Ye may leave there now, lads, they were saying.
Ye have it.
That's it now, you have it. There's your keys, away you go.
You won't find it now till you're dancing.
So we have salsa, we've that one done, but we haven't mastered the jiving.
We're going to do it.
So we're going to master the jiving now, the master jive.
Yeah,
and
jive masters.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's happened to go by, I mean, a great way of meeting women, no more than the salsa.
Could be
not
the second
that
wife.
We could, yeah, and that could be, because that's the thing.
That's, you're
and, I mean,
always
let's just
looking
say this.
For a second
now. I'm so glad you
that's
said it
sweet,
as well.
That's the sweet spot.
Because, obviously, we have brilliant wives now.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
But that's not to say, you don't know what will change in the future. Do you know what I mean? And they're going to get old eventually. And the thing is, Ray, even though you're not, do you know what I mean? We're in love, whatever, you know, all that crap.
It's all going well.
You have to be ready to turn every corner.
You do.
I've always said
and
that.
And it's a good skill to have in your CV.
It's a great skill to have in your CV, is to be able to...
Because it seems that's the only way it's going now.
If I decide with Nicola, that's you done there now. At least then I can go that Saturday out to the Allingham Arms in Bundoran and jive a woman around the room.
You will.
I mean, is that too much to be said? Like,
no.
I don't think that's ignorant.
No, it's not. No,
I don't think it's disrespectful to Nicola either.
No,
let her know. Not at
all. She's dead right.
I'm dead right.
Yeah, you're dead right.
So we're going to do that jive and crack. It's going to be marvelous.
Yeah.
Have you any old crack that you want to get on to?
I do have a few little bits.
Because that was a lot of our... I want to do one more thing though before we go. Do you want to go full radio? Hopefully we don't get pulled off for this.
All right.
If I get pulled off, I'm going to be ripping.
Right.
So at the wedding as well, I ran into an old guitar player friend of mine that I hadn't seen in many, many a year.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing at the wedding. Mm-hmm. So Kieran, fair play to you, Kieran Murphy, he has a band called The Hales. And
the
I said
Hales.
Yeah.
H-A-L-E-S, like the locks.
H-A-L-E-Z.
Or
H-A-Z.
Hiles.
H-A-L-E-Z.
Oh.
Hales.
That's a really interesting name.
The Hales.
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, I hope it's pronounced The Hales. He'll tell me otherwise or whatever. And I said to him, I saw you put up a video.
Yeah.
I don't want to go a full day fanning, but I do want to say, like, he's a friend of mine. I was delighted to be able to do this. I said to him, I'm going to play that song in the podcast because it's class. I had literally saw it come up on Facebook and I said, yup, you buy it.
Well, we're on full radio.
I'm literally just showing you. We'll play 30 seconds of a brilliant song. This is The Hales and this song is called Charlie.
Right.
Like Franz Ferdinand.
Yeah. Who is Franz Ferdinand? I just shut up and let people listen to it? Very true. You keep on lying for him. Oh, it's a bit of venom in it.
Savage. Charlie.
This Charlie, this
listen to that.
That's very beautiful.
Isn't that class?
So they're an original band, are they?
They're an originals band. And can I say, and I mean, it's not to, you don't hear music like that in the Moor, but it's great because,
well, you do, but
we'd be from the same era and stuff, like, and so would he, and it's great to hear stuff like that being released now by Irish bands.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe that. I think that is class.
That's full day fan in there.
So if you want to check it out, it's, you can go on to YouTube and look up the music video, and they have another song being released too. It is called The Hales. You can find them on Facebook, Spotify, on the YouTube, and watch the video for Charlie.
Wow.
There you go.
Right,
that was Dave Fanning.
We're coming up on the news.
And so now next we're going to a beautiful new track by Thin Lizzy. Don't know how they did it. They've been dead for 30 years.
And after that we're going to play a little bit of Celine Dion because that's my favourite.
And ladies and gentlemen, every festival in Ireland they're playing this year, give it up for Ash. Here we go.
We're now going to play all three songs together.
How's it going?
I'm thinking you sort it out in your heads.
Anyway, what were you going to say to me? Sorry.
Look, there's loads of things happening in the world. I only had two small things for this week's podcast.
Go on.
Which is unlike me. I was kind of a bit worried coming in. I was going, I have nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
So the first thing was that I heard, do you know Guinness?
I would know. I drank loads of it.
You know the way now 0% Guinness apparently now is getting, it's getting very popular.
It's getting hugely popular.
People don't want to be drunk and messy anymore.
It's really annoying. You know you're going to put me out of a job.
I know.
The less ye drink.
The less they, yeah, the more you realise that pubs aren't that much crack.
No, they're loads of crack. We're sponsored by one, you prick.
Sorry.
Okay. God almighty.
Anyway.
Okay,
yeah. So, moving swiftly on. So anyway, the 0% Guinness, I know, you know the way you can get, it comes in a tin. Mm. And they have this kind of a Guinness pump thing on the bar, but it's not really. It's a tin opener. It's a fancy looking tin opener.
Oh, yeah.
With a Guinness logo on it.
Yeah.
So they put the tin in and they puncture it with this yolk and they pour it into the glass. But it doesn't fill a full pint because it's a tin.
Yeah.
Right?
It's 440 mil or
something. 4 something mil, yeah. It's not a pint mil. Mm-hmm. And what they've been doing apparently in a golf club somewhere is then topping up the 0% Guinness with the real Guinness. So they let it settle,
yeah,
and then they top up the top of it
with actual
Guinness. And apparently the combination of the two brings it as close as humanly possible to the taste of Guinness because there's a touch of alcohol in it then.
Yeah.
You're kind of going, Sherry Trifle.
And how, yeah, it's like that, yeah. So how many of them would you have to drink to be over the limit? Like?
Oh, but you could drink 6 or 7 of them and you wouldn't even be touching the limit.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
You're talking about, like, it's only a little top. It's 6. I'd say you could drink 6.
Definitely.
0% pot. You'd only have one ad.
Come here. Listen, please drink responsibly. We should probably say that. Don't listen to Ray when he says 6. We're only giving a real bad estimation. We are not.
Yeah, obviously we're not going to take responsibility with the fact you get penalty points for drinking 18.
The lads told me, I could drink 36 of these. Half and half, they said. They said half and half I could do it. Isn't that a good idea, though?
It's like a pint of special.
Yeah. Isn't that a great idea?
Yeah.
But again, I'm just sick.
Your shandy is another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come here. Oh, no, we've had that conversation before with the shandy. Anyway, never mind. I need to tell everyone this. Please drink responsibly, but please drink.
But, yeah, do drink.
Will you stop being dry shites and going to the gym?
Yeah.
There's
no
point in going to the gym. It's no good for your
Forget
mental health.
Forget that drug stuff as well. It's no good to you.
No,
it's bad for you.
Yeah.
Drink alcohol. It's less calories than cocaine.
Guinness is the lowest calorie beer.
I've seen that too. And that's, they're really making pound off that now. Because all of a sudden we're all worried about our weight.
Yeah.
Some more than others.
But I'm telling you not to be though. I really mean this. That if you want to save the Irish economy, right?
Go out and drink pints.
Go out and drink pints.
Yeah, fair enough.
And cut the shit. Stop going into these gyms around the place. Right?
And there's loads of gyms popping up as well.
Two things I tell you to do. Stop going into the gyms and stop going into the toilets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You shower, you know what I mean?
Just drink pints.
And there is gyms popping up all over the place.
Is there any particular
thing? What happened to one gym, you know, where...
You go occasionally.
And like,
you take out a membership and not go.
That's right, Ray.
Yeah.
What happened to paying 30 quid a month and going nowhere?
And just feeling guilty.
What happened to this country?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's unbelievable. We have all these people going into gyms. My TikTok, I mean, it's full of these fellas.
Yeah.
And why do they all...
Why are you looking at fellas in gyms?
Now, I know I'm going to piss people off. Why do they all have Dublin accents? Right? Lately, all the biggest influencers all have. So these are gym guys, by the way. They're not nutritionists.
We have spoken about this before.
They're all like, do you want to eat a spice box with literally minus 50 calories? You have to follow my recipe. There's no throw out
where
that Supermax.
Get this stuff from?
Yeah, and then he throws it in then and it looks like shit, but all of them are eating it then and they're delighted. And then they're putting on their, what's that thing called, Gym King or Gym and Coffee gear.
Yeah.
Their arses look unbelievable. This is the fella still now.
But you have a lovely arse.
Ah, but I have a fat old arse, right? I'm a fat hussy. Stop now.
But it still lets us.
Yeah, but I'm a delighted fella. I drink pints of Guinness every weekend. Look at me. Aren't I happy?
You are.
Aren't I contained in a load of emotions that are fit to burst at any moment? I am. But that's the way to keep it. I find that if you're tense all the time.
Push it down.
A lot of these people are saying that they're going to the gym because it relieves tension.
Yeah.
Some of them might do all the big hard workouts. They might punch a bag and stuff.
Yeah.
I find if you just contain all of that energy.
Drink pints.
Don't be telling anyone. And then drink pints. And once every 6 months.
It'll spill out.
Drink too many pints.
And it'll spill out.
Let it all out then.
Outside of Chipper and Ballinrobe.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's the way to do it. This country's gone to the dogs. I'm sick to death of these new young ones who are on a fucking diet of protein powder and coke. That's what they're doing. That's it.
Ooh.
And Adderall.
Right. What's Adderall?
Adderall is this thing that was huge in America. Yeah. They were just literally horsing it into kids' mouths. What's the dosage on it there? I just open his mouth and fire it, whatever lands in. Adderall is like, it would be an ADHD drug.
Oh.
So Adderall is like, it's for attention, holding your attention.
Oh.
But people would be, there was a huge problem with it in America where people who were just like, New York,
fast
pace, fast cars, big boobs, right? They would, people in New York would be taking Adderall to just get through the day because, like, this is a fucking dog-eat-dog, you have to be on top city, you know? So that's what they were doing, trying to get through their working day. And it's fucking, it drives you mental.
The reason people aren't drinking a lot of pints is because of how it affects you. I really think there should be these little clinics where they bring in the IV, like the thing I got in Bali the time, where you could win the following morning. And they replenish all the things the Guinness took out of you.
Yeah.
And then everybody's sound then.
The biggest problem with drink responsibly. The biggest problem.
I was thinking about that drink responsibly stuff. Yeah.
The biggest problem with the drink is that it dehydrates you and
that's
you wake up then. I mean, I roared at Nicola 4 o'clock Sunday morning. Luke's 8. That's all I said because I fucking. It was like the Sahara Desert in my mouth.
Oh.
And I drank a full bottle of Luke's 8 and one got heartburn, couldn't sleep again. So. But that's the way to do it.
I must admit, you need to put a little bottle of Gaviscon beside the bed.
Oh, well, she...
It's so sexy.
Yeah, I know, yeah. She brought a bottle of Gaviscon around the place. Like.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, like, that's what the problem is, that you get dehydrated.
That's right.
So I think if we were all... But should there be no staff in the HSE to give you the IV drip at all?
Wonder could you get a little portable IV, something that you can strap on your
arm.
The
last thing you want to be doing is stabbing yourself. With these bloody things. You know, but that is the big problem, is that you need to be replenished, but you have to replenish like electrolytes and water.
Yeah.
And I am a clinical technician with this, a doctor. I have a PhD. So listen to me, drink responsibly, use IVs.
And go to
And stop going to the gym.
And just go to the pubs.
And go to the pubs, because you're sick in everyone's hole.
Right.
That's the problem.
You heard it here first,
everyone,
folks.
Is healthier. They're definitely not happier. Go out and drink pints with
drink
the
pints and have crack.
And go out and drink gin and tonics with the girls. Down. And get sick in the toilets and be like, oh my God, Angela was out of it again last night. She was giving out about the boyfriend. Because that's part of it too. It's not just our culture. It's the women's culture.
Yeah.
Oh, she got a bit lippy last night and she started opening up on himself again. That's what it's all about, Ray.
The more you talk about it, maybe it's not a good idea. Maybe the gym is a good thing.
I don't know why I meant that speech at all, Ray.
Maybe just keep going.
I don't know why I bother.
Stay off. Drink responsibly.
We've loads of time. Go on.
Yeah, the next thing I want to talk about, I don't know how I can get into without.
Well, just say it, Ray. Come on, say it, Ray. This is an open forum right here. You see this table?
Yeah.
This might as well be an inch wide because I'm holding your hands right now.
Thank you.
But just don't actually hold my hands.
So,
what you want to talk about?
Over the last week, I was very privileged to get to do some gigs for the Corja Festival.
Oh, yeah.
The Corja Arts Festival.
Brilliant.
Here in Sligo.
Yeah.
And I have to say, a better festival you'll not find.
Is Tara still in
Tara's still the boss.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. She's
marvellous.
Brilliant.
And they're really, really nice crowds.
Yeah.
I have to say. People that are just lovely. There's no messes in the crowd.
Yeah.
So it's weird doing a gig where everybody's really nice and they're there for... Like, the gig I did on Friday night was in Juniper Barn, which
is
in Ballymore.
What a spot that is.
You mightn't have heard of it if you're from out of town. Juniper Barron is one of these kind of bespoke country house, wedding venue, event space, et cetera, et cetera.
I had the privilege of doing their first gig back after COVID. Yeah. And I don't think they had just renovated and stuff and they weren't, and oh man,
it's beautiful. Chris is the man out there running it, fair play to him. Gentleman. He's very, the kind of gentleman, by the way, he owns the whole place.
Yeah.
And at 3 a.m, he was lifting the speakers into the back of the van at me.
That's what I love.
And that
he is
blew
class.
Me away. But anyway,
he is class.
We were out in Juniper Barron. It was a David Kitt gig. So right. David, you know David Kitt?
I can't say, I'm not yet, no, I don't know who he is.
You've heard of him though?
No, I genuinely haven't. No.
Oh, fair
but
enough.
I probably have if I've he seen him, I'm
probably
sure.
Probably won't be happy with that, but anyway.
I know, I David, feel terrible. David, I have heard of him, he's a good friend of mine.
David landed anyway, he was doing an electronic kind of set.
Oh, that's why you haven't heard, because I'm not into that stuff.
No, he's normally a singer, acoustic guitar and one-man band type stuff.
Yeah.
But he was doing an electronic set, but before he went on, there was a spoken word poet for a half an hour.
Yeah.
Fella from Dublin.
Yeah.
And I have to say, he was very good.
There you go.
But everybody stood and quietly listened.
Imagine.
There was no one shouting or talking loudly or any of that sort of stuff. Everybody was really respectful.
I want you to imagine me and you were in Maves Friday night.
Yeah.
I'm doing a gig.
Yeah.
And I say, I'm just after finishing Brown Eyed Girl.
Yeah.
I go, ladies and gentlemen, I'd actually like a bit of cuteness, please.
Yeah, I'm going to say a poem.
I'm actually going to say a couple of poems. And everyone goes, shh. He's fucking...
No, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, so that's why those arts crowds are brilliant. Well, they're there for that reason.
It's an arts crowd.
Yeah.
And they're just so into it.
Yeah.
And it's lovely to see.
And they're actually willing to open up as well, which is the thing. When you go to a gig like that, especially at Cordia Arts Festival, you have to go in there and be willing to embrace whatever's about to happen.
Yeah.
You have to. Yeah.
No.
And I've seen some wild shit at the Cordia Arts Festival. Yeah, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean like... There's some out there stuff at that.
But you'd enjoy it, like.
Yeah. No. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying it's not the stuff that I would typically go and see.
No.
But you have to go in and go, wasn't that mad?
Yeah, I've
wasn't
challenged
that
myself.
Mad in there tonight.
Well, what happened anyway, earlier in the gig, I was setting up during the day. And Barry, who was doing the gig with me, he was setting up some lights.
Yeah.
And he had a lovely little set of these little battery-powered uplighters, I like to call them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What are we talking? Three watts?
We're talking, God knows.
16 watts.
They were a ShoreTech.
Ooh,
little pack
the
of
people will know that,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, little pack of show techs, you know? And beautiful little uplighters, battery power, run for 10 hours to the wood and the battery charge.
Jesus!
I tell you one thing.
That's the good stuff, right?
That's the good stuff. But Barry, anyway, was placing them around the room to provide ambience.
Yeah.
And I was looking at him and he was putting them in places that were very accessible, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
As in on benches and generally where people would be.
Yeah.
And I said to Barry, my initial reaction was, Barry, would you be a little bit weary placing such lights in such places? Because my experience of gigs is where when you put stuff, even if you put it behind a locked door.
Oh, people go in and guess.
It seems to be gone.
Yeah, like the time Jenny Green stole my iPad.
What?
Yeah. Did I definitely... No, that's an old running joke.
I think
joke.
You've called her out for being bananas and wild roots.
I think we did this before. I have so many stories about her. No, I'm only joking. I did a festival down in Cork one time.
Yeah.
And she landed, like, so we were playing and then she was DJing afterwards.
Yeah.
So we met her out in the back lot place, like, you know, and she was
passage.
Like, oh, great gig lads or whatever. And I left my iPad down and sure, it was gone.
Did
so I've always said, Jenny Green, robbed my iPad.
But did you get it back?
No, I didn't get it back. It was robbed.
Did you not just ring...
Everyone tried. I tried to find my iPad. I tried everything. Nowhere to be found. But the joke in the band I was in at the time was
Jenny Green.
Do you remember the time Jenny Green robbed your iPad?
Enough, so it's not proven.
Absolutely not. But you never know now.
By the way, we must talk about another little thing real quick after this.
Go on.
But anyway, I said to Barry, I said, what about these lights? They're going to be gone. Barry quietly walked up to me and said, not this crowd. And he's right.
You could put a light. Listen, if someone's going to one of those Cordia Arts gigs, right?
Yeah.
You could literally ask them, can I put a light on your head or in your bag?
Will you hold it?
And they'd say, no, but.
No problem.
I'm just delighted to be doing something. That, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I didn't realise it was like...
It's immersive.
Yeah, it's an immersive
I'm
experience in here.
Yeah, you're part of it. You just hold that spotlight there now. Don't move.
Come here, would you mind doing the sound? I've never held it down. I have no idea what gain means, but absolutely I will, How do I sweep out the high pass there? Remind me again.
Just as you mentioned there, that's Gorgias Festival, but just to mention there about losing things, poor old Sean O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
He was playing with Nathan Carter.
Didn't you used to live with him?
I did, yeah. He was playing with Nathan Carter in Castlereagh Prison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And found his way onto the front cover of The Sun the following day with the headline, Unlock Me Mama.
Now, I'm going to give you one bit of advice when we move forward here.
Yeah.
Don't fuck The Sun. Right. They're a shower bastards.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't like the sun because you're a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, well, yeah, and on top of that, they're shower bastards regardless. But anyway.
Nathan Carter did this gig for a selection of charities. Yeah. And it was a very nice thing to do.
Yeah.
The aspect of the prisoners being remaining locked in their cells during it didn't necessarily give the San Quentin vibes of Johnny Cash.
So,
but as far as I could see, his heart was in the right place. Yeah, with the thought that counts and all that.
They
jazz.
Were in the right place. And they were fucking locked miles away from
him. Yeah, and the prison officers had a lovely time. And there was invited guests. And that's nice too. It's like when you're in school and a band comes in and plays for you, you're delighted.
Yeah.
But that'd be like locking the students in the classrooms while the teachers went and had a jive.
Yeah.
Imagine how vexed I'd be in fourth year. How come we don't get to see the band?
I mean, the boys clearly got a bit of backlash, which is all right too. I'm sure they're well capable of taking backlash.
It's a marvellous bit of publicity.
Yeah.
Like, how expensive would it be to get your face on the front of the Sun? Of a Saturday.
So he said, like, well, we go and do the, like, everyone is saying, why didn't you just do it down at the local hotel, like, whatever? And he was like, well, then I wouldn't have got publicity for doing it in a prison.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what happened. But, I mean, I don't think any prisoners who are in prison for all the wrong reasons have any right to watching it in character geek.
Completely. It made me reflect on the Johnny Cash thing when he went and now, of course, Johnny Cash, like, I identify with the prisoner, the downtrodden, the man that's made mistakes. And this is the Christian thing then of forgiveness and kind of going, look, you're paying your dues, you're doing your time and all that jazz.
Frig that,
But, you would wonder, like, if you are incarcerating people, why would you be putting on Nathan Carter gigs when we ourselves find it hard to come up with the ticket money?
I think tickets to Carter gigs are about £30.
They're £30, yeah.
Like,
The
boys said, they're like,
that's 8 weeks' wages for the boys, like.
Like, what are you in for? Oh, I robbed all around the county of Roscommon. Do you know what we're giving you as a punishment? You get a free gig in the fucking
place. They were hardly using it as punishment, though, were they?
Ray. But the one thing I would say, it was clearly a publicity thing that he was doing, where he was like, we're going to say we're gigging in the prison. Yeah. I don't know if you really wanted people to know that it wasn't for prisoners.
Could you picture the warden kind of getting them all together of a morning going, I have some news for you folks.
Yeah.
I know why I've gone American. I have some news for you folks.
That's how you see it, though.
Yeah.
Here in Arizona.
We're going to have a big concert here at Castlereagh Prison.
Yeah.
We're going to have Nathan Carter playing here at Castlereagh Prison. And you want to hear what else? What else? Everybody's losing their mind. Going,
come on. We're going
to
jive.
None of you are going to see it.
Yeah, none of you is going to see this.
We're
going to
have a great time and you're all going to stay in your cells.
It is. And then, like, they invited people into the prison then to watch it as well. Yeah. Like local representatives and stuff, wasn't it? Or whatever. Business people.
But now, Sean said he really enjoyed it. He said it was lovely to get a little look around.
Well, if I have one thing over Nathan Carter.
Yeah.
It's that
you played there too.
But I played for the prisoners.
Oh wow.
So I'm the real Johnny Cash in this situation. Carter went in and Sean. Yeah. Carter and Sean went in there and they said, I'm absolutely happy to come into the prison as I don't have to touch those dirty peasants. Ew. No. I went in at the age of 14. I had the wherewithal to say, put me up in front of them and I'll entertain them.
I take them.
I don't mind. And I talk to any man in there. I don't care what he did.
Yeah.
What did you used to do with kidnap 14-year-olds? I'm out of here.
I'm out of here, yeah. But
I played for the prisoners. I did Fairy Tale in New York with Michelle Cook. The two of us blasted it out for the prisoners and they loved us.
Yeah. It's a wonder they didn't lock them in the cells when you were in there.
Well, a lot of them were kind of going, can we go back now?
Yeah.
I think a lot of them were saying, seen enough of this.
The last item on that was, the reason I even brought up the story is because you were talking about losing an iPad. Poor old Sean O'Reilly lost his AirPods. He dropped them above in the prison.
Ah, hey.
And they're gone.
They're gone.
They're gone.
If there's one thing I do, not stereotype now, Sean Renton, but I don't think prisoners would be that quick to give you back the air. There's no one handing them in, if you know what I mean.
I said to Bryce, ring the prison and see what they found. Surely someone might have spotted them. They're white. And
imagine if it was like, will you ring the prison and see if they're found? And your man on the phone's like, oh, Sheila, get the long gloves. Someone here has harvested a pair of AirPods. Yeah. Sean will have them back chitting out. Were they white or they won't be white? Never mind. It's okay.
Anyway.
Cavity search out everyone.
Sean was sad.
God almighty.
One last item.
Go on.
Do you want to speak at all about the Trump shooting? World news.
Yeah, I'd rather not make a heap of jokes when someone died, like.
No.
Do you know?
Not making jokes. I'm just asking a very straight question. Do you think it was for real?
I mean, the thing is, I think it was for real, right? Because Do you know why I think it was for real? This is the best way of describing this.
Yeah.
The reason I think it was for real is because I'm a couple of things. I'm too stupid.
Yeah. I won't argue there.
I haven't time. And I don't care.
Oh.
For those three reasons, I think it was real.
You're so happy to take it.
I'm too stupid to go into the depths that these people are going into to say, well, actually, if you look back at the bullet trace of the, and you look at the timings of the, and the CIA, where the, number two is, I haven't time.
You haven't time to be doing all that.
I'm not doing any of that, and I don't care. What I mean is, we're absolutely obsessed with American politics
in
this country.
I'm fierce suspicious.
You think that he
just there was two bucks with snipers looking at the lad that was holding the rifle for a lock of minutes with a rake of lads down there saying, like, lads in the crowd going, "Jeez, what's your man doing up there with the rifle?"
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, there's a lot, all these assassinations of American presidents. I mean, if you look at the JFK one, that's in very suspicious circumstances.
It is.
I wouldn't put it past them over there. Yeah. They have, I mean, you look at Jeffrey Epstein's
death.
And
it's done mighty for him now. He is like...
Oh, well, Trump's going to win the election now.
Like. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good for anybody.
Yeah. Because well, I mean, the
Josie
thing is,
Biden will be gone, and that means Ireland's in will be gone.
Well, I mean, he'd be gone.
He could be gone anyway.
I think he's already gone, to be honest.
That man's checked out.
No, and I mean, it's not his fault. Like, Joseph Biden is clearly just too old to be doing what he's doing. The America's problem is, from what I've heard anyway from the grapevine, is that they hate Kamala Harris, who would be the next, she'd be his vice.
Yeah.
She has like the
lowest.
I do
call her Camilla.
Whatever her name is. Kabula Harris, she has the lowest rating of like of any sitting vice president ever. She's just not well liked.
Yeah, so that's not going well for her.
Yeah, so and then they have another guy called RFK who is a nephew of JFK.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, yeah, but so he might
How come
have
he's not going to win
because they don't want him in there either. Because he's a Democratic candidate, but he's an independent candidate now. But he had been a member of the Democratic Party for many a year.
Yeah.
But he'd have some what might be considered outlandish ideas. Because
you mean the truth?
Yeah, no. Well, he'd have a background in some vaccine stuff.
Oh,
and then he would have said, "Don't be taking vaccines if you don't need." And that's a big no-no, especially with the last couple of years.
I'd vote for him.
Yeah, no, I would as well. If I was American and I was none
it's
the wiser.
Pity he's got a gammy voice.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, his gammy voice. He warms up though. Like
Does
that's
he?
Obviously a neurological problem that he has.
Yeah, sorry now.
Yeah, no,
Robert.
No. Yeah, no. But it is like we'd consider it in Ireland a gammy voice. Like you'd say, "What's wrong with your man with the gammy leg?" You know, like that'd be.
Yeah.
So he does, but it's a neurological problem. But if he warms up into a conversation, it gets better and better. He's just bad at the start.
Bad at the start.
He literally needs it to
warm
up.
He sounds a bit like you after the match.
He's not far off me now, actually. Yeah. But I think he would be a brilliant candidate.
Yeah.
But also the problem then as well is in American politics, you can't sit in the middle. You have to go mental to the left or mental to the right.
Hmm.
And then once you get in, then you kind of just fall back into the middle again.
That's right.
And there's no change, you know, really across the board. Like,
but how it pans out.
It would be, yeah. But again, like I said, I mean, I'm just trying to mind my own. I couldn't be arsed looking at it. No more than all the shit that's going on in Coolock at the moment.
I
have just checked out.
Good.
I'm just going, do you know what?
I enjoyed all the videos on TikTok today about it because all it was very Dublin people.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dublinist of the Dublins.
Yeah.
What are you doing over there?
Yeah, I know, yeah. Like, that's the thing as well, yeah. And look, the thing is, they're well capable. There's locals there who have real concerns.
Yeah, they are.
Legitimate.
Yeah.
That has all got ruined now by burning out police cars.
It's
just gone out the window. So that's the end of that again. It's happened
again.
Everywhere. Everything that the far right touch wrecks all their chances. Yeah. Far right candidates are dropping out now they're saying, "I'm not doing this ever again."
Yeah.
You know, there's some of them down there who have been pretty intense over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now when they get 300 votes in the election, they go, "I might not be that well liked.
Maybe it's not for me."
And but they still end up going, no, well, that's everyone else's problem now.
Yeah.
You know? Nothing wrong with me now. Yeah. Obviously, you're all just gone.
Yeah.
The other 6 million of you haven't a clue.
Yeah.
Me and the 300 people that voted for me, we're the ones who know.
On that, I have to say, the more than the Galway team showing form on Sunday, I have to say the guards, fair play to them, they're getting good at this.
Well,
of the charges were very coordinated. God bless them.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I'd say as well with that, like, you have to be able to, you got to be careful too. Like,
can't be complimenting them.
There was a great point made on News Talk. So, a 6-year-old child got caught up in the pepper spray. When you spray pepper, it goes fucking everywhere. It goes everywhere.
Yeah.
And then the point was made by, I think, Kieran Cudahy or Seamus Coleman. I can't remember. Or what's your man's name, the Coleman guy? Anyway, one of them made a point. Why are you bringing a 6-year-old?
Exactly.
When you know that them things usually get violent.
Yeah.
They have a tendency to get a bit heavy-handed.
Like, if I had kids, I would not be standing there. I'd be going, "I'm going somewhere else."
Yeah, yeah. Then but then again, you know, the guards have a duty of care as well, like, of course. Yeah, yeah. There's a duty, yeah, they do have a duty of care.
Anyway, I just thought
I saw an old woman getting dragged away because she got caught up in it. She was sitting at a bus stop.
Jesus.
And you're kind of like, fucking, this is...
And I seen a young girl with a pennies bag. Looked like she was just coming home from the shop.
And did she get caught up in it as
she
well?
She seemed to get caught up in it as well.
And there was a guy then on his bike, like, who was clearly just trying to go home.
Yeah.
He was had a bag in his back and a bike, cycling up to it, and the guards are like, you're not going... And he was like, I just want to go to my house.
Yeah.
It's behind you there. Yeah. That's everybody's fault.
Yeah.
That's all of your all faults. It is absolutely the government's fault just as much as it's everyone else's fault. Because everyone, there's no... I was listening to it on the radio on the way down. There's nothing being said to anyone about this stuff. Mm. They're still trying to do it in the cold light or in the dark of night.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time. All you do is scare people. Mm. They go, oh, what? I've heard, you're not going to be, I've heard it's all single men. They're all unvested. I've heard they all have a military background. Mm. That if you don't tell people, and then when you tell them the truth, right? Mm. You're putting them in these with no planning permission. This is an old, what is it, Carragas or?
Crown Paints.
Crown Paints.
Yeah.
No, you're not supposed to have residents in there, but they're going to, you know, you have to tell people.
Yeah.
And then let them make up their mind if they're vexed or not.
That's true, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's plenty of towns where they have told people and they've gone,
imagine
I'm glad now
vote.
We're part of it. No, if they did a vote, they'd lose.
Oh.
But doesn't that tell you something too, though?
It does, yeah. It'd be interesting to see now if in a spot, like literally, the residents of...
I'm not asking them to do a vote.
Yeah, okay.
If they did a vote, if the Irish government did a vote, they would absolutely lose that vote. People would say, I'd rather you don't bring them in here. But the thing is, they have to go, I know you don't like this,
but we have to do it,
and I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it.
Yeah,
and
that'd
then
be nice.
Put people at ease.
Yeah,
they will absolutely not do that because they are, number one, cowardly. Number two, there's too much money involved.
Mm-hmm.
These people are getting paid huge money to hand over these places.
Yeah.
At the detriment of tourism as well at some stages.
Yeah.
They go, well,
does anyone think of Robert Mazzell?
Well, is anyone thinking of Robert and Kendi? Seriously. Because literally what's happening is these hotels are going, the government have offered me millions to just fill it. Well, yeah. And I don't have to worry about booking.com anymore.
Yeah.
Will I just do that? Yeah. I will.
Or booking Robert Mazzell.
Or booking. There's no social dancing anymore at the weekends.
No.
And don't book Kendi either.
No.
I'm with you, Robert.
No. Well, as long as they don't start converting small pubs into...
They could. Well, there's plenty of those places that could... Sorry, no, Kendi. All your residencies are gone.
Anyway,
not to get too serious about it. The last thing we do have to say before we hit the diff is you're not going to believe this, lads. The Kendi and Rainbow live show is back on Thursday, the 8th of August with special guests.
Carol Spain.
It is in the Garvogue. Tickets are available on Ticketmaster.ie.
And there's only like about 10 left.
Oh, gee. I think it's 2.
Oh, no.
No, that's gone too far then because then they go, they're gone.
They're
gone. You're not going to believe it.
I'm speaking facts. I think there's about 10 or 15 left.
Yeah, if you search for them, you'll probably get them. But there is genuine limited availability on those tickets. Yeah. It is the last Thursday night live show we will be doing.
Yeah, you can either go to Ticketmaster or contact your local GAA club. They may be able to sort out two tickets.
Make sure you see it. It's going to be a belter of a show. And go on to our Instagram bio if you don't know how to search for it on Ticketmaster.ie. We lead you straight to us.
Thanks very much to Brendan Flick the Keys himself.
And thank you so much to the Sligo Show and Pixel Productions for letting us use their studio here on the ATU campus.
Maeve's Bar.
And Maeve's Bar Kennedy every Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Ray, fair play to me.
And fair play to me.
Good luck.
Good luck.
The Kendi and Rabo Podcast, sponsored by Maeve's Cozy Front Lounge and the Garvogue.